All right, back on the Young Turks, second hour. Oh no, drop it. Okay, you know you love it. All right, whole new power panel. Ambry Allen's back. Jimmy Dore, Anna Kasparian, all my rowdy friends are here tonight. And we got a lot of important and interesting stories for you guys. I'm going to read a couple of quick tweets for you. This is awesome. Riley Seberg writes in, Common Cause is down to 2.1 on Facebook.
Ah, we can see 2.1. You did it. You guys did it.
Okay, wait, hold.
Savage.
Okay, Facebook.com/Common Cause. These are the guys fighting against change. And like I told you in the post game yesterday for the members, I said they put out a press release because they knew that I was coming because I gave them a warning. Mm-hmm. And the press release was all about danger, danger, change is dangerous, don't do change. And in all the comments on their own website, they're like, dude, that's exactly what Cenk said. Like
yeah,
you
yeah.
would like say, oh, don't change because it's dangerous. But we need change. We need change, right?
Yeah.
So then without me asking, they went to Facebook.com/Common Cause and started downvoting them, which I didn't know that you could do that on Facebook. But apparently they had a 5-star rating. And then when we went on air today, it was 2.9.
How did they, but the 5-star rating is hilarious. Like how many people had voted previously? Like one person.
I don't
know. Like someone at
probably
Common Cause.
To be fair, probably all 50 of their lobbyists.
Yeah. Like, oh, we love Common Cause. Awesome. Yeah.
And they said, can I see 2.1? They're at 2.1. Can I see 1.5? Okay. Now, let me go to another one that I like a lot. Margot M says, I'm voting for, this is the nickname for Gorsuch, #ThiefJusticeGorsuch. Oh, I kind of like that. But let's hope he doesn't become actual Chief Justice. Okay. And in order to, and by the way, the people, donating to our journalism campaign, $27 from Megs in Vermont, $50 from Carol in Washington, and $127 from Benjamin in Canada. And then the member shout outs, of course, are Jennifer Holland and Catherine Mixter. Yesterday in the post here, we talked about Common Cause's reply and how the National Democrats are actually also working against change. I explained that story. Mm-hmm. TYTnetwork.com/join, and you get all the post games and the whole show whenever you want, ad free.
That's what the National Democrats do not want to shake things up.
That's what people don't understand. They're like, now what do you think? Those guys got into power through this corrupt system. And it, like everybody's always surprised, like, oh, they don't want to change the system? Of course they don't. That's how they got into power, in this system.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyways, that's why change has to be forced upon them. Casper, what's up?
All right. Something curious happened during the O'Reilly Factor last night. The show just ended 15 minutes early, and there was really no explanation why. In fact, Bill O'Reilly teased another segment and then never came back. He just never came back. No one can explain it. Okay.
Bill O'Reilly goes in, Bill O'Reilly goes out. You can't explain that.
So I'll give you some more context. There's a lot of drama and a huge kerfuffle with previous advertisers. Advertisers have pulled out. So maybe that's a reason why the show randomly ended 15 minutes early. But just take a quick look at what happened. This was the last segment that he did, even though he had teased another segment that was supposed to follow. Take a look.
Waters on deck. Texas City says no to young spring breakers. Waters is next.
Shepard Smith reporting from the Fox News deck in New York. Interesting developments today in foreign policy. This afternoon, Secretary of State Rex Tillerson announced from South Florida that the President of the United States had been deeply impacted by the Syrian strikes. Syrian missile strikes, I should say chemical strikes, that killed some 80 people in an attack there. The Syrian dictator Bashar al-Assad launching that attack on his own people, leaving more than 100 people wounded.
All right, so the way that this has been reported was, okay, this is strange, but I think for the average viewer, actually, even now, I look at that and I'm like, yeah, yeah, there was breaking news, so what's the big deal? Mm-hmm. So maybe it was just breaking news and maybe we're making too much out of nothing.
Yeah, it's definitely possible, yeah. Especially on a day like yesterday. But so here's what makes it a little bit more fishy. So they had not gone to breaking news in quite some time. Mm-hmm. And Shep Smith did not have any new news. He broke in with the same exact news that you had hours earlier in the night.
Right.
There wasn't like, oh, and a new development, it turns out we hit this instead of that. It was just repeating what they had before. But on the other hand, cable news repeats itself endlessly, so that could be. They also, though, did not run the rerun of Bill O'Reilly later in the night.
Drunk.
Okay.
Oh.
Okay.
There it is. Cause for concern.
Okay. Now, I remember at least when Oberman left MSNBC, like there was all of these things of like drama, like, wait, this is a little weird. That's a mm-hmm. little strange. And then one night Oberman came on and said, this is my last broadcast. And people are like, what the hell? Mm-hmm. But you had seen the signs ahead of time that it was heading in that direction. So now I don't know. I mean, obviously, the reason why people are speculating about it is because Bill O'Reilly is, the news is out that they settled 5 different cases of sexual harassment that O'Reilly had done internally at Fox News, cost Fox News $13 million. I don't think they're worried about that money because they make a ton of money from his show, but they're worried about their reputation and, of course, they are worried about the money when it comes to advertisers pulling out today, which they have. Dozens of advertisers have pulled out, and O'Reilly might be pissed about that. Or, by the way, one other possibility, and without being inside Fox News, it's impossible to know for sure, is that maybe for some reason that spring break segment there was something wrong with.
Yeah.
You know how even there's always something wrong with their spring break segments, right? And they don't care. They just want to talk about spring break, even if like what they're reporting isn't factual, because they want to show women in bikinis and then pretend like they're offended by the women in bikinis. Okay. But I actually, Ambria, I have a question for you. Okay. So imagine we're at a workplace, okay, and we're just groping dudes. You know, like I go up to some dude and I'm like, nice, right? And I do it so often and these guys are so uncomfortable that they go after me, right? And so my boss and my company has to sue all these cases for millions of dollars, right? Settle these cases for millions of dollars. How quickly would a woman get fired? I would be fired, but like I would be fired for thinking about groping someone, right?
Of course.
I mean, maybe not, I don't know. But I just feel like there's a huge issue here with the fact that we're having a conversation speculating about whether or not his career is over. Homeboy has been accused by dozens of women of sexually harassing them. The company has had to pay millions of dollars to settle all these cases. Why is he still there? Why are we having a conversation about this? It's crazy.
Can I just say very quickly, if you are ever fired for groping a guy, I will hire you. I will hire any woman who is fired for groping a guy. Any woman who ever gets fired for that, I am going to, in fact, I will have you demonstrate the offending action.
I denounce and reject this. Okay, Ambria, really.
I think that's why.
Yeah.
He still has a job, right?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, our president is our president, right?
Yep.
So, I mean, obviously, accusations of sexual assault don't change the culture of companies, right? Mm-hmm. They don't change the culture of the NFL. They don't change the culture of any organization. The good news here is that we got 15 fewer minutes of Bill O'Reilly.
That's just in general.
So for whatever reason, this is good news.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think, and I'm not sure it's a guy girl thing, right? Because I think if anything in the, and this is not right of me.
But
I think if a guy grabbed a woman in the workplace, I would go to DEFCON, whichever one's higher. I think 5 is higher rather than 1. But anyway, whatever it is, I would go nuclear on that quicker than if a woman did it, because I would pause for a second if a woman did it. Like, wait, was that consensual? Mm-hmm. Then, and that's not necessarily right, by the way. And of course, you would actually talk to them and adjudicate it, and you wouldn't act right away. Hopefully, we're smart enough to actually figure out what's going on first. But so that's why I don't necessarily think that it's a man versus woman thing as much as an old school versus new school.
So,
in the old school, yeah, guys were in charge and they got to grope anyone they liked. And if women were in charge, they would have gotten to grope anyone they want, but they weren't.
But that old school work environment was rooted in gender inequality. Let's keep it real, right?
That's definitely true.
The notion that women are at the workplace for a specific reason, not to actually add to, you know, the creativity or the success of this company, but they're there for the maybe some of the administrative work, secretarial work, some of the lower level positions, and we get to grope you every once in a while, and you can't complain about it, right? And if you do complain about it, we'll find a way to pay you off so you shut your mouth. So yeah, that's, I think that that's rooted in gender issues, but maybe that wasn't a fair example because I don't know, there really isn't a prevalence of women going around groping male colleagues, okay? But just to kind of juxtapose Bill O'Reilly to another conservative woman in the media, okay, I mean, I don't like her at all, and I'm not trying to defend her, but let's talk about Tommy Lauren. She had the audacity to make sense once in her career, and she gets fired immediately, right? She's not going around sexually harassing people. She's not going around doing anything illegal, right? But it doesn't matter. Like, a woman steps out of line for 1 second, gone. And with Bill O'Reilly, I mean, apparently he can do whatever he wants, right?
And you got to remember who set that original, you know, chauvinist, sexist. Look, you get, I know that like the right wingers these days are special snowflakes and they get triggered the minute you say sexist. They're like, nothing's sexist. You guys are making it up. Nothing's sexist. Okay, snowflakes, calm down for a second. Land on the ground, okay? Mm-hmm. And remember, back in the day, it's not arguable. The Mad Men era was true that you, first of all, women were not allowed to have those the higher level jobs. First of all, they weren't allowed in the workplace to begin with. Then when they were allowed as secretaries. And yes, men groped, slept with, etc. And back then, there were no settlements. There were no lawsuits.
Yeah.
If you didn't agree to sleep with the boss, you were fired oftentimes. Not every time, but oftentimes, right? So now the thing that's amazing is, some of those folks still live among us. So Roger Ailes comes from that era. Mm-hmm. So to him, that was the norm. So for him, he's so bothered that, God, now we can't even just sleep with any woman we want and coerce them and force them by using our power to sleep with us, even though they don't want to sleep with us. And to him, he's like, the good old days, if we could just make America great again.
Right.
And he set the tone. He ran Fox News. So when the guy at the top was doing that, dozens of charges against him, well, of course, when Bill O'Reilly, somebody comes in and says, hey, Bill O'Reilly sexually harassed me, Roger Ailes isn't going to punish Bill O'Reilly. Mm-hmm. He's going to give him a pat on the back and go, don't worry, I got a slush fund just for this. We've been using it for me, and we'll use it for you. Of course, they're the ones who set that culture. But I think the one positive thing that we got out of all this is, or the one negative thing, I should say, of him ending 15 minutes early is, I'm still wondering what Talking Points is going to say about spring break.
Me too.
I know.
Well, go ahead.
How does Texas feel about spring break? You know?
Yeah.
Everyone in the nation wants to know.
Well, you can see why Bill O'Reilly's still against gay marriage, because he firmly believes that domestic violence should be between a man and a woman. And that's.
Oh, yeah. That's from his divorce proceedings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where are the fathers? That's what apparently his
Where
daughter
are the
asked.
Fathers? And you know what? And what he did, if you read, I've read about what he did, and he would literally pressure women to have sex. He'd go, I can help you in your career. Now let's have sex. And one woman actually said no to him. And then he said, well, your purse is ugly.
It's like a child. Yeah. I mean, it's like a high school bully. It's unbelievable.
It really is. If you're that powerful, like Bill O'Reilly, he has a lot of power. He has a lot of money. And it's like, so that's how you're going to get laid? You're not going to try and charm a woman or try to get a woman who like is already looks up to you and thinks you're great because you're a star. You're going to go try to get someone who you work with and then use more work as a way. That's like worse. That's one step above for me. That's worse than going to a prostitute. Way worse than going to a prostitute. And that's one rung above rape. It's one rung above rape because she doesn't want to have sex with you and you're making her do it because she's afraid of something. That's gross.
Yeah, it absolutely is gross. And I just want to add that, you know, as you were kind of explaining this, it made me think about how unbearable it is that guys like him have this sense of entitlement and this complete lack of self-awareness, right? So he thinks he's entitled because maybe because of his position and his power to sleep with whatever woman he wants, whoever he wants. And then he also thinks that like, he's like this glorious looking dude who Jesus. Is the arbiter of what is or isn't attractive with women, right? Like, have you looked in the mirror? Like, I know that it's very lowbrow to comment on other people's looks, and I try to avoid doing it as much as possible. But it happened with Donald Trump. It happens with people like Roger Ailes. It happens with people like Bill O'Reilly, where they're just completely unable to reflect on their own hideousness and have the audacity to talk about the looks of other people. And I get it all the time, too, where people go on my social media and they're like, this person's more attractive than Anna. And it's always coming from a dude that I wouldn't fuck if he was the last guy on the planet. And we were the only people that could repopulate the earth. I wouldn't fuck you, dude. And so don't sit there and talk about what you think about my looks, right? That entitlement drives me crazy.
Well, Bill,
anyway,
Bill O'Reilly.
Sorry for the curse words.
I don't know if you've looked at his neck lately, but that's where he does keep extra pictures of himself when he was younger. He sticks them in his neck. That's why it's like.
Okay. needlessly, last thing, we really got to move on.
I'm pretty sure that's true. I'm going to go ahead. That's fact.
Is that
it's being reported by Brian Williams right now that he sticks pictures.
Yeah.
What?
Okay. So the purse thing also got to me. I remember that really sticking out to me. You know why? Because it's what I would have said when I was an embarrassed young teenager.
Yes.
Got rejected. And I would have said something in a panic that was so stupid and petty. And then I would have regretted it. Like, why did I say that? That wasn't even clever. That was so stupid. And it made me look like an asshole, right? But O'Reilly, at the age of, I guess he's above 70.
Yes.
Still saying it like a fucking child.
It's unsurprising. These are all symptoms of white patriarchy. Like, this is all, like, it's unsurprising. It's what do we do to challenge it? And these advertisers pulling right from the network, is that going to affect any kind of change? That remains to be seen.
We'll see.
Why would this be the thing that makes them pull their all the shit that Bill O'Reilly's done and all the race baiting he's been a part of, all the stuff.
They don't care about that.
They don't care about that at all.
No.
But why this? I don't get it.
Well, advertisers are very concerned about hate speech these days, you know, all of a sudden.
Very concerned.
I mean, they've been advertising with people like Bill O'Reilly for a very long time, but now all of a sudden, I don't know.
Yeah, that is really weird, right?
Yeah.
I'm sure Michael Savage has a hard time coming up with the ads too, right?
Yeah, is that guy still on air?
Yeah,
that's amazing. All right,
moving on. Alabama's governor is in a world of trouble and refuses to resign, even though there's mounting evidence indicating that indicating that he not only had an affair, but that he used funds, public funds, inappropriately in order to continue on with that affair. So it's Governor Robert Bentley, and he's a bit of an outsider. So this is an interesting story because of the fact that he doesn't have a lot of lobbyist friends or politician friends who are kind of looking out for him. But the accusation is that he was engaged in an affair with his former senior political advisor, Rebecca Caldwell Mason. He had said, if we're going to do what we did the other day, we're going to have to start locking the door. That was something that he said in a leaked audio. When you know this whole situation was being investigated. The audio was released in 2014. We did report on it, but I do want to refresh your memory and then update you on what's happening with this story today. Here's the audio.
When I stand behind you and I put my arms around you and I put my hands on your breast and I put my hands on you and pull you in real close. I love that too. Put my hands under you.
What?
Okay, so he said something about like hugging her from behind and touching her breast.
I love that too.
The accent.
I love hugging you from behind and touching your breasts, and then I love to put my hands under you.
There it is.
Okay. So gross.
They're calling him the love gov.
So, according to the New York Times, Mr. Boy. Bentley.
He looks like it. Oh, I'm not supposed to say anything.
Okay. Mr. Bentley had likely used government resources for his personal interest, paid Ms. Mason's legal bills with campaign funds, made an improper loan to his campaign, and received an improper campaign contribution. The Alabama Ethics Commission found probable cause that Mr. Bentley had violated ethics and campaign laws and referred the case to a local district attorney for possible criminal criminal prosecution. So there were all of these, you know, investigations done, and now they want to make the evidence public, and the House in the state wants to impeach him, right? They want to vote to impeach him. And so Bentley is being very defiant, and he's trying to fight tooth and nail so he can remain in office. But we'll see what happens. It looks like since there's mounting evidence, it's unlikely he's going to be able to hold his position.
Why? Did he do something with his staff?
He might have done too much with his staff.
Okay. <Yeah. laughs> So, all right. I actually have mixed feelings about this. I mean, I'm going to rail on him in a second, and this hypocrisy is hilarious and disgusting and all that stuff. But I'm always curious when someone's targeted, right? Why? Because Republicans normally stick by their guy no matter what. It doesn't matter what they do, right? I mean, look at Trump. He says, I grab women by the genitalia whenever I want without asking. And they're like, that's my boy, right? And Roger Ailes and, you know, and Bill O'Reilly. There's Desjardins in Tennessee. And, three abortions with his wife and his mistress, and they're like, ah, oh, good family values guy, pro-life. Yeah, but right. they don't care, right? Mm-hmm. But for this one, there's people leaking tapes, and they care, and so I'm a little curious as to why it's going down the way that it is.
So I have a very good quote from a professor, actually, Professor Emeritus at University of Alabama. He says the following: the fact that he did not cultivate a circle of friends and interest groups who would be loyal to him is what got him in this present dilemma, because he's a loner, so to speak, right? So to me, that screams, oh, he's not a pro-establishment type, and so the establishment isn't going to back him up on this. Now, with that said, though, I think what he did is wrong. I don't care about his affair. I think that it's in bad taste, especially if you run your mouth saying that you're a family values guy. He was a Baptist deacon and all this stuff. So that the hypocrisy is there.
He was definitely a deacon.
Yeah, well, the hypocrisy is definitely there, and that's annoying, right? Especially when you want to judge the lives of other people while you're having this affair. But I think the worst thing is using public funds in an improper way. Don't use taxpayer money for your affair. That's disgusting.
Yeah, so again, I'm a little split on that. Here's why. I'll tell you why. I know that sounds ridiculous. Yeah. Because once they catch you, first of all, sex, right? That's it. The sex is the only thing that matters. This guy could have been, if he was in bed with the interest groups and he was sleeping with them and he was getting, and he did whatever they wanted, he funneled billions of dollars to them, nobody would care, right? Oh my God, he touched her breast. Let's go crazy. So first off, they say he lied to the lawmakers over and over about his affair. To which I say, of course. Of course he did, not guilty, okay?
Yeah.
Like, what was he gonna say? Hey, are you having an affair? Oh, yeah, you caught me. I was fondling her breast. It's probably on tape somewhere. You got me. I resign immediately.
I hugged her from behind and put my hands under her.
I like that too.
Look, if you're having an affair, if you're having an affair, you've already signed on to lying. It's part of the affair, right? So not guilty. I don't care if it's a Republican, Democrat, whatever. Now then the second part of it is misusing the funds. So if he did so in an egregious way, and that's why the devil's in the details, he's like, all right, baby, I'll take you on a ride in my Bentley. Okay. Okay.
Can you not get through it without?
I've been deaconing her all day long. No, anyway.
Right. Hey.
So, okay. If he does, like, if he uses the state chopper just to impress her, then guilty, gone, okay?
Yeah.
So, on the other hand, the minute you're in a sex scandal, people are like, okay, wait. Did he ever have lunch with her anywhere? You use a state napkin. You use a state napkin. That's illegal. Okay, off you go.
What he did, though, was not using a state napkin, okay? I think that you're minimizing what he did.
No, I'm not minimizing it. I'm asking, so go ahead.
Okay, so you mentioned a chopper, which I think is hilarious, because he actually did utilize a helicopter in an improper way.
Oh.
Apparently, he had left his wallet somewhere in Tuscaloosa and literally had a helicopter go pick up his wallet for him. Okay? That's insane. So that
But did that have anything to do with the affair?
No, it didn't, but it doesn't matter. Okay?
See, but that means they're on the warpath to get him. I know that's a bad thing.
He's using taxpayer money for stupid shit. I don't care. I don't care if they're out to get him because he's not in favor of lobbyists. I don't care what their intentions are. If they find wrongdoing,
agreed,
then he needs to go. And they found wrongdoing. And to be absolutely clear, even though he's a family values guy, even though he's a gigantic hypocrite, I don't care about his sex scandal. But what I definitely do care about is the fact that he's misusing taxpayer money in this way.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Including a Celine Dion concert.
Oh, yeah. I love that you mentioned that.
You know, if I got to pay $150 to go see Celine, I need you to pay.
Yes.
Because I'm paying your salary.
Yes.
So, yeah, I think it's just a misuse of funds. The affair aside, you deal with that personally. But your discretion here is just terrible.
Can we see that? Oh, here's the picture of that guy.
Yeah.
So there he is. I don't know if they should punish him so hard, because I think he's been dead for a while.
He's still trying to hold on to that office.
Maybe that's why he's still able to have sex, because his dick is rigor mortis. Is that what it is? I don't know. I'm just guessing. But this isn't fact. This is a speculation. But it does say here in the story, it says that many people, including some of his critics, see Mr. Bentley's story as that of a good man never inured to power. He seems to have gone astray. So people are forgiving him already for this.
He went back to Jesus. And
okay, so now let me unleash on that. Okay. Now let me turn around and tell you the other side of the story. So he says, you know, he was going through these troubles. Mm-hmm. Now, it didn't seem like trouble when he was doing it, right?
Yeah.
It seemed like a lot of fun. But once he got caught, all of a sudden it was trouble. But he says, on a fateful day, guess who he found? Guess who he ran into? He's going around the store, and oh my God, Jesus, what brings you here? He says, that day, last May, I asked God to take these struggles and to help me carry these burdens.
Okay, forgive and him. That's all you have to do.
And then he says, and I completely gave him all of me. Just like I did with Rebecca.
No.
Okay, so no. Spare me your God nonsense, okay? Now, if you were a religious man, you would have found Jesus before you had the extramarital affair. And by the way, he didn't find Jesus after the extramarital affair. No, he was to all of a sudden, he going around town, Jesus nowhere to be seen, still in Nazareth, right? After he got caught, all of a sudden, there's my old friend Jesus from Nazareth.
Yeah.
Right? Hey, look at this. I went on an Easter egg hunt and found Jesus right before I got in a world, or right after I got in a world of trouble. So I just, that is my least favorite excuse in human history. After I did all this crappy stuff, it's okay, I'm a Christian, everything's gonna be fine.
It's just so,
I found the Lord Jesus, right?
It's just so inauthentic, right? I think that it's much more admirable when you come forward and you're honest. And the honest answer is, look, I'm a human, and humans are deeply flawed, and I made a terrible, terrible decision. Okay, I shouldn't have done this. But like, yeah, I've been married for like several decades. You know, I got tired of steak. I was looking for the shrimp. Whatever. You know, whatever.
She might have found the shrimp.
Okay, we gotta stop.
Okay. But I like the idea of that press conference. He comes out like, look, I'm gonna be honest with you guys. I'm a Homo sapien.
Okay. But then I'd be like,
hey, you know what the people, good people of Alabama would say? Oh, he gotta go. He said he was a Homo sapien. So
Jesus told me that I should just keep better control of my steak chopper, if you know what I'm talking about.
I'm waiting for an American politician to come out one day and say, look, I know I sinned, but it's okay. I found Muhammad.
They would like give him the death penalty.
Muhammad's helping me carry the burden.
Yeah, that's right. No, that's okay.
I gave all myself to. What a weird way to say it, too. I gave all of me to. What are you? What are you having sex with him? What are you doing?
Okay.
What were you wearing when you gave all of him to Jesus? What were you wearing?
No, but by the way, I say that, but it really does show the absurdity of it, because you take out Jesus, which you're used to, because you know the country is majority Christian. You put in anything else, and it sounds preposterous. Well, you know, it's okay, guys. I gave all myself to Muhammad. So it's.
I went to my nearest mosque and prayed to Muhammad.
I talked with Moses.
Yeah.
And Moses was, he's by the way, he was not the only guy who knew what to do with a burning bush. If you know what I'm talking about. Come on.
You gotta let it go.
Yeah, we do. Should we move on to the next story?
Yes.
Okay, let's
do
God's
it. For God's sake. Ironic.
So this is actually super important. So. Let's
okay, bring it back.
Okay, bring it back. Quit doing dick jokes.
All right. Twitter is suing the Trump administration in order to protect the privacy of one of its users. Now, apparently what happened was, after Trump got elected, members of the government, people working for the federal government, created Twitter accounts, under aliases, of course, in order to openly criticize Donald Trump. Now, it's not really openly criticizing because they're not revealing what their identity is, but they're trying to make a point that they are resisting some of the policies that Donald Trump is rolling out. Now, Twitter filed a lawsuit Thursday against the US government to block a request to provide personal information about a user who goes by AltUSCIS. So this account specifically focuses on Trump's immigration policies and how ridiculous they are. And the Trump administration, I'm guessing Trump specifically, hates the criticism. So they're trying to get the personal information of these Twitter users, probably to retaliate. So let me give you more details on that. So an agent with the US Customs and Border Protection faxed a summons to Twitter last month requesting the user's account login, phone number, mailing address, and IP address. Wow. So again, so shortly after Trump's inauguration, alternative or rogue Twitter accounts began popping up for the National Park Service, Environmental Protection Agency, NASA, and more. The accounts claim to represent the views of government staffers who oppose Trump's policies. And again, Trump hates it.
Hey, you don't even know that they're government staffers. So
yeah.
Look, I know one group that is definitely going to be opposed to Trump on this, and that's the alt-right. Mm-hmm. Because the right-wing guys online, if there's one thing they care about, it's freedom of speech. That's, so
yeah, right.
You know, when it's Nemo or their other beloved icons, exactly. They say, hey, freedom of speech, he's allowed to say anything he wants, don't you dare try to do anything about it. Mm-hmm. Now their special snowflake president is so hurt that he's going to violate people's freedom of speech, he's going to go to Twitter of all places to out someone who's criticizing him. I thought you guys thought the criticism was the totally fair game. It's like the greatest thing in the world to criticize people. Mm-hmm. But when it's your dear leader, I'm sure that you're not going to be hypocritical, right? You're going to call Trump what he is, a snowflake, and you're going to tell him to stop getting triggered and respect freedom of speech.
Stop being a cuck.
Yeah.
It is really ironic that, you know, certain people have built a career off of pretending to be advocates for freedom of speech, when in reality, you know, they're like the first people to get super, super offended if you ever say anything defending moderate Muslims. Mm-hmm. They're the same people who can't handle any type of criticism whatsoever. Like, their entire existence is about bitching about people criticizing them, and then they'll turn around and be like, I'm an advocate for free speech.
Exactly.
No, you're not an advocate for free speech, you're pretending to be, but that's pretty much it.
Ironically, can I just say, that's such a great point, Anna, but I hadn't thought of it that way. Ironically, they're hiding behind freedom of speech so that their feelings don't get hurt. Right? They're like, oh, no, I'm allowed to say whatever you want. And by the way, I know people like this in real life too. Mm-hmm. So they're like, well, I'm just honest, man. And they'll say terribly insulting things to you. And the minute you say anything back, they're like, oh, how dare you? And they'll get offended and they'll do meditation and stuff. Right?
You should be arrested for that.
Yeah. So they're just, you don't believe in freedom of speech. You just hide behind it because you're a little special little snowflake. So if you actually believed in it, you'd be like, I can't believe how wrong Trump is on this.
Mm-hmm. That's wild because conservatives do care about free speech. And me, you know, I'm a classic liberal, which means I'm conservative, but a little bit libertarian and probably something else.
Oh, my God.
I don't know who you might be referring to.
No idea. Okay, so by the way, I just wanted to make one other point about something that we discussed on the show yesterday. And when I was reading about this story, I felt like the two pieces kind of went together. So look, we're very critical of some of the policies in Russia. And very recently, officials in Russia decided to ban an image of Vladimir Putin where it's altered to make it look like he's wearing makeup, lipstick, and all that. And it's like this, you know, message about homophobia and how people should fight against it. And so officials in Russia are like, this is extremist, and so we're gonna ban it, right? This is very similar because Trump, like Vladimir Putin, can't handle being insulted, so they're gonna retaliate against specific people who criticize them. That's crazy. This is supposed to be a country where we value freedom of speech, even if it's speech that offends us. People say things that offend me all the time, and guess what? I'm not gonna go after them and say, the government should shut you down. No, that's wrong. I'll criticize you back. That's not violating your freedom of speech, but we shouldn't have government officials going after people who say things that they don't like. So.
Yeah.
Anyway.
President Snowflake, I like him. All right, what's next?
All right. Oh, let's talk about revenge porn.
Oh, great.
Okay, so Revenge porn continues to be a little bit of a problem on the internet, and Facebook has just come up with technology to combat it. So much like content ID on platforms like YouTube, Facebook has found a way to immediately, in an automatic way, identify revenge porn and then shut it down before it can be posted on the site. So let me give you more details. The company has assembled a database where photos can be matched so they can never be reposted on their network. Fingerprinting media files is used by numerous internet companies to prevent the posting of certain copyrighted content, as well as the dissemination of known child pornography. So there's an upside and downside to this. So the way that it works is, let's say someone posts revenge porn on Facebook. The person who doesn't like it or doesn't want it up there can flag it, and then it gets saved in like the database, right? So if someone tries to repost it, Facebook will prevent that from happening. Now that's the upside. But the downside is, and we don't know this for sure, but it seems as though Facebook will have a database of revenge porn, and that kind of makes me a little uncomfortable,
right? I
never
thought of it like that.
Yeah, because they have to have that data in order to prevent future postings of the same video or picture or whatever.
That database is probably the most popular database for male Facebook employees. But yeah. No, in all seriousness, I'm sure that there's immense protocol to make sure if that database exists that it's not breached, etc. It's a liability issue for them. I would be dramatically surprised if they didn't care a great deal about that, etc., etc. But as I say in every single story, guys are guys when we talk about this. And if you give a guy an opportunity to be a perv, very likely to take it. So, you know, every time we've allowed people to snoop in on things when they shouldn't have been, you know, the example I often use, ABC News broke the story in Iraq and about how we were gave the ability to our guys to listen in on phone conversations. Instead of worrying about terrorism, they immediately started listening on phone sex conversations of our troops. So, and I've told
one of them was actually Alabama's governor. They listened in on that conversation.
Apparently so, right? Based on the news today.
I mean, some of those guys, the way they have sex is just, it is terrorizing.
So wait, then is your argument that that this database will then create an opportunity for people to then manipulate the...
No, I'm saying that it's possible. And I'm just saying this is a small downside to it, because I think the upside is significantly larger. There's some guys at Facebook who are tech savvy might be peeking into that database from time to time. But one, at least it's not public. And two, I certainly don't think they intended it that way.
Right.
I'm curious what you guys think, but I think the upside of that is much higher than the downside.
I think that you, for some random reason, are kind of minimizing how little corporations care about safeguarding people's privacy. So, you know, I wouldn't be shocked if they didn't take proper measures to protect the database that they accumulate, right? But nonetheless, I do agree with you that there are more upsides than downsides to what they're doing. I think it's more important to ensure that this kind of content doesn't go public on their platform. But yeah, I think there's still room for abuse with people who are tied to Facebook.
And I think it points to a couple issues. Then Facebook hire more women, right? Yeah. To be in positions where you're safeguarding property that disproportionately affects women, right? Revenge porn, no one's reposting pictures of dick pics. And if they do, you know, the sentiments of our panel thus far have expressed that that wouldn't be a bad thing.
Not in my case.
No, me either.
I actually think that would be a better use of time, is just to create like a reservoir of dick pics. So guys can upload them there instead of sending them to us. And then when we want to see them, we can go to that website instead of getting them while we're at work or in church.
Men have sent you those pics?
Dick pics?
Yeah, that happens.
Yeah.
God,
yeah.
I'm out of
it. Are you kidding me? Like,
I'm out of it.
It's funny because, look, there's a huge difference between men and women, right? Because, I don't know, maybe some women willingly send like pictures of their bodies to like strangers that they don't even know. Like, men can't wait to show you their penis. Like, because men are so proud. Even when they have no reason to be proud, like they can't wait to show you like their penis.
Really?
And I'm just like, but that's his name is
Weenan.
Yeah, that's 50%
yeah, that's a great point.
Why his name is Weenan.
That's a great point. Like he was really proud of his stuff, you know, and he just wanted to share it with the world.
That's why if you did revenge porn with guys, almost by definition, anybody who sent you a dick pic wants you to send it to other people.
Yeah.
He'd be like, oh yeah, here's your penis. He's like, yes, I made it. I'm famous. Finally, I knew it. See, mom and dad, you didn't believe in me.
Yeah.
And women would never send a picture of their genitalia because it's not like, oh, look how big. I could hold a softball. You know what? Nobody... Women don't do that stuff.
Am I allowed to laugh or no?
Men do that.
Okay. Wow.
Women don't do that.
Okay. And I will now make it further awkward.
Okay. How? Yeah, it's possible.
I can one up that.
Don't underestimate.
No. I've been out of the market for so long. Like you're talking about, like you haven't sent
it. I had no idea guys do that.
I know that guys send it, but like I'm amazed every time, right?
Yeah.
I feel like if I was in the market, like I would bungle it. Like I said, pick up my balls. They're like, what the fuck is this?
But again, it shows you that there's like this lack of understanding between men and women on some issues. Like when a woman gets a picture of your penis, in the vast majority of cases, she's not thinking like, whoa, yes, yes. Like that's not what happens with women, right? Like usually
they are. They think the guys probably think like she's right now. She's going yes. No,
wait till she gets a load of this.
That's not what happens. That's not what happens. Usually it's like oh, I didn't ask for that, you know. So if that's your intention is to, you know, get her attention and get her to date you or sleep with you, that's not the way to do it. Unless she asks for it, and in that case, send away.
Have you, or do you know any women who have ever asked someone to send them a picture of their dick?
I bet it. No, I'm sure it happens.
I'm sure it happens. Yeah.
I know.
I can't imagine a girl asking, hey, I'd like to see a picture of your dick. What?
Yeah.
I'll just come over.
That might be like a prerequisite. Like maybe she doesn't want you to come over, depending on what is in that picture.
Yeah.
So,
I would just send a picture of someone else's dick.
You know, and again, the database would be useful.
Right?
So we can do some matching of, you know.
I don't even know.
You're so funny, Jimmy.
It's like, that was a black dick. It's obviously not yours, Jimmy. But it's big, and I have a couple of them.
There was in Crashing, the HBO show. Are you guys watching that?
I haven't seen it.
Yeah. There's a whole discussion about that where the guy goes, oh yeah. You send other pics. You don't send your own dick.
Oh, see, there you go.
What happens when when you do the grand? That's what reveal.
They followed up by saying, you can't get carried away. It's got to be within the range. You don't want to lose credibility when you get in. Okay, and he says, no, it's okay. Some other guys use my pic. So anyway, apparently watch Crashing on HBO, and there's a good chance we've gone way too far.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're gonna end it. So there is one more
hard thing to end this story. I got to tell you.
Yeah, well, it keeps going and going.
I think we've penetrated the anyway.
All right. We've had mounting evidence of, that we've gone too far. Okay. We're not quite done. We're done with the show, but we're not quite done with all the content for today. If you're a member, I'm going to do a live interview in about 20 minutes, completely different tone, completely different context, with State Senator from Vermont. We are going to debate the issue of money in politics and a convention. So he just voted and led the effort to rescind the Wolfpack resolution in Vermont.
Mm-hmm.
And so that ought to be very, very interesting.
Are you going to drag him?
Well, we don't know, but it's going to be discussion/debate where, I mean, we don't agree. And so it could get contentious. Doesn't have to. I hope we're, of course, polite, but and I certainly plan to be, and I imagine he plans to be.
Mm-hmm.
But we do disagree, so it's going to be very interesting. So if you're a member of the Young Turks, and you can become a member at tytnetwork.com/join, you'll see that live. Don't get me wrong, guys. If you're not a member, you can see it later on YouTube. It's just the members get to watch it as it happens, and then we'll put it up as soon as we can. Usually within 24, but it's a weekend, it might be Monday. But anyway, usually within 24 to 48 hours on YouTube. Okay, Ambria, Jimmy, thank you everybody. Jimmy.
April 24th, we have a live Jimmy Dore show. It's in Burbank, California. Go to jimmydorecomedy.com.
Okay, great. All right, God bless. Here we go.
Bye.